Well, I'm sorry for two things today. The first thing that I'm sorry for is any of you who may not have been pulling for Ole Miss or Tennessee. The second thing I'm sorry about is that your teacher today didn't show. He got a ruptured disc at the last minute. It was Hugh Jacks. And he would have had a story to tell. He has been working on this for 6 months. So we got to have him back. But that being said, you get me today.
Great.
Yay. Some of y'all will recognize this. Some of you have not experienced this before. But years ago, I used to do every month, I did a thing called a marriage moment. 5 minutes. Just a little tip on marriages. And Glenn Green has been hammering me to do them again. And I don't know that I'm going to. But suddenly without a teacher, I thought, what am I going to teach about? So I pulled 4 marriage moments out of the bucket and put them on my laptop. And we will see how they go.
Oh, let me get Gina something to write with.
She just recorded on her phone. As you can see from the date, I hadn't even changed a minute. This is right out of the box from where they were before. So that's kind of an odd title, Cleveland or Needham, and you'll understand it when we get to the end. I wonder if we intervene too much on behalf of our children as they go on through life. And if we do that, why do we do it? You think about sports. Coach, I don't think you've been playing my kid enough. You ever heard anybody say that? Have you ever said it? Probably not. Or homework. I love the look on this little kid's face. Now, you know, we've got to have good grades, sweetie. We've got to have good grades, sweetie. Or sorority rush. You just do what I tell you, sweetheart, and I'll get you in to try to help. Or an Easter egg hunt. Don't worry, little Johnny. We're going to find more eggs. We're going to find more eggs than anyone. Or at the ball field. Our kid was safe, I tell you. We see that all the time, don't we? We do it ourselves probably too much. I love this t-shirt. You might not be able to read it. It says, a mother's greatest masterpiece is her children. And in a way, that's really kind of right. And it's actually scriptural. And I bring you 2 verses of scripture, one from Deuteronomy. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. So that right there says we're to impress these things on our children, to make an imprint on them. And then in the Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So those 2 things say that we're to mold our children. But how often do we step outside our bounds and we become like that? Okay, so I know the point's well taken. But what's that got to do with Cleveland or Needham, my title? Well, do we Cleveland? That is, do we train them up to fly the coop and live successful lives on their own? Or do we need them so much for our own sake that they never learn how to live without us? And sadly, I think it's too often to satisfy our own fill-in-the-blank here, pride, significance, image in the community, you name it. We're trying to get our... In fact, I'll never forget... Our son, who lives out in Colorado, who y'all have met, came back to Birmingham when he was a teenager, and we were coming to Briarwood. And so I said, well, you know, get up, get dressed. And he got up and came out to the living room and had on these holy blue jeans and a t-shirt. And I said, Parker, you can't come to Briarwood that way. And so finally, after somewhat of a battle, he changed so that I would look better. But I always learned from my kids. About a year or two later, he said, Dad, what if we'd been living in Alaska? Would the coat and tie have made that much difference? You know, God's not really looking at my coat and tie. I'm trying to look good for y'all more than I am for God sometimes. And I do that with my kids as well. So if we back off, they will get hurt. They will get bruised when we get out of their way and let them make their own mistakes. But they'll also learn to do some things, to socialize, to live life, to pay their bills, make hard decisions. And it's interesting. I'm seeing your kids go through this right now, the paying the bills part, all that stuff they're going through. Deal with people, what have you, play well, so much more. So that's what happens if we back off. But here's the real payoff. The real payoff. In the process of all that, of getting hurt and getting bruised, they will own their own success and their own failures. It's not going to be your fault that they failed. It's going to be their fault that they failed or succeeded, for that matter. I love that. This is really tough. Can I have a TV break, please? Come on, Dad, or you'll be responsible for my bad grades, as usual. So, if we back off, they'll be ready to take on the world. And by the way, I think this is important. Our kids might not like us when we don't pave the way for them. There are a lot of things that my dad did that I didn't like. And yet, I knew he loved me. And they turned out for my good. But letting them live their lives today, and I didn't word that very well, makes for great friendships later in life. I think it makes for great friendships between us and the kids when they know that we've allowed them to succeed or fail in their own. So, for our kids' sake, we'll pray for ourselves. All right, so that's marriage moment number one. So this one's called Five Things Your Kids Will Remember About You. First, I've got to make a confession. These are not my idea. They came from a website called forevermom.com. But I thought they were really so good that they were worth sharing. So what are our kids going to remember about us? And really, what difference does it make anyway what they remember about us? Number one that they came up with was the times you made them feel safe or not safe. For example, when you chased the monsters out from under their bed. Do y'all have monsters under your bed?
Yeah.
I still put my sheet over myself at night so the monsters won't get me, right? I mean, what difference does the sheet make? I don't know. But having a parent there that kind of chases the monsters, well, that's kind of nice. Or maybe when in your anger, you became their monster. You know, we need to make it our mission to make our kids feel secure, not protecting them from everything, but letting them know that we're their rock and that we'll always love them. Did I mention love them always? Again, I go back to my dad. I always knew he loved me, even though he didn't like me sometimes and I don't like him sometimes, but I knew the love was there. So number two is the times that you gave them your undivided attention. Kids, I think, tend to measure our love for them in terms of how much attention we give them, how much time we spend to them, with them, how much we listen to them. And I think about, that was fifth grade, we were living in Stuttgart, Germany, and we were not living on a post, on a military reservation, we were living on the economy, so the kids were kind of spread out. And my mom recognized the need to get some community going among the Army kids, and so she started a Cub Scout pack. And that's my mom, and the cute one, you can't see it, the cute one right there, that's me. But, you know, I knew she invested in me. In fact, in high school, she and I built a kayak together. I mean, she just did stuff like that. She was always invested in me. And that's my dad when I was in college. Now, he was a tough-as-nails career military guy. And you jumped before he gave you the command. But I knew he loved me, and he would play with me, and he invested time with me. So here's the third one. The way you interact with your spouse. We've all heard this. The first place that kids learn about how to live a marriage is by watching us live our marriages. My favorite baseball philosopher, y'all know who he is, Yogi Berra, said you can learn a lot just by watching. Observe a lot just by watching. And our kids are watching. They watch everything we do. And even when we don't realize it, it's funny to me how my kids, who are now in their 50s, will come up to me and comment on stuff that I've done in the past that I had no idea they were watching. But they were. So we need to give them an example that will help them have their own great marriages in the future and also feel secure in the present. Number four is words of affirmation and words of criticism. You know, our kids are like silly putty. And we've all seen this. They're just like little sponges. They really take on the shape of the things that are around them. And our affirmations and our criticisms are like the hands that mold that silly putty. And Jenna, you could probably speak to this for hours, how they're just molded by what we do and how we do it, things that we say, the way we criticize, the way we affirm what they're doing. So that's really critical. And then the fifth thing that they will remember about us is family traditions. And I thought this was kind of interesting, the family traditions part. Family traditions fulfill a need for predictability. We know on Christmas morning I'm going to get up and have a hot cup of hot chocolate, and then we're going to go open presents. There are things that I can predict in my life. And some of those traditions that we have do that. They allow us to predict what's going to happen. And then we want to give them some meaningful traditions that they can pass along to their families. And I really like what Dobson said about traditions. He said the great value of traditions comes as they give a family a sense of identity, a belongingness. All of us desperately need to feel that we're not just a cluster of people living together in a house, but we're a family that's conscious of its uniqueness, its personality, character, and heritage, and that our special relationships of love and companionship make us a unit of identity and personality. Kind of sums it all up. And I know it'd be fun to have a class one day just talk about family tradition and how we do that, play that out in our families. So there you have it, the five things. The times you made them feel safe or not, they'll remember that. The times you gave them your undivided attention. It's kind of funny, we were having dinner with a younger couple who lives across the street with us, and they've got a cute little four-year-old girl. And we were sitting there at dinner, and all of a sudden the husband got up with the little girl, they just went off and played with each other. I almost felt insulted for a minute, and then I thought, he is investing in that child, you know? And that's something she'll never forget. They'll remember the way that we interacted with our spouses. And they'll remember our words of affirmation and our words of criticism. And it's not that we should never criticize or critique, but we need to do it the right way. And then your family traditions, they'll remember that as well. So the question is, what difference does it make anyway? Well, Matthew, I love this verse from Matthew. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And I've got to relate, on Saturday, Florence and I went to the funeral of a very good friend of ours. She had several kids, several girls, and the oldest girl, when she was younger, kind of went off the rails. Well, she didn't kind of go off the rails. She went really big time off the rails. I mean, big time off the rails. But the gal whose funeral we went to and her husband loved her through it, affirmed her, did all the right things, and she spoke at, I'm going to tear up just talking about it. She spoke at the funeral about her mom, and you just knew she'd been watching all along the way, that Jane had been that anchor in her life, because Jane was willing to let her light so shine before men. And that not only brought this kid out of where she was, it brought her to Christ. And she made that very clear at the funeral. So it was something. Come on, PowerPoint. I know you can do this. Okay, I'm about to go to meddling here. Green, you know what this one is, actually. We all come wired with our own unique personalities, don't we, as husbands and wives. And we're typically pretty different. Pretty different. So, for the girls, I'm going to ask if this has ever happened to you.
There's a lot of pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me, and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Did you have a nail in your head?
It's not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there.
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing.
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail.
Okay,
fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just, sometimes it's like there's this achy, I don't know what it is. I'm not sleeping very well at all.
Listen,
all my sweaters are snagged.
All my sweaters are snagged.
All my sweaters are snagged.
Okay, girls, this is your big opportunity. Is your husband a fixer? Let me ask, maybe I shouldn't ask. Should I ask?
Yes, he is.
He is a fixer. Okay, we know Kevin's a fixer. Any other fixers in here?
Yes, Lisa is.
How much time do we have? I'm going to go past that. So here's the question, guys. What can we do about the nail to avoid the nail? I'm going to offer three scriptures and a question. Scripture number one is out of 1 Peter. And it says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way so that your prayers may not be hindered. I know I live my life from my point of view, and I rarely live it in an understanding way about other people. It's just hard for me to get around that. And yet we're called to do that, to see things from our spouse's point of view. And I have to say this goes both ways, but since we're the fixers, I kind of put it on the guys. Scripture number two is out of Proverbs. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. As fixers, let me not blame you guys. As a fixer, I'm way too quick to give an answer. Just, it's kind of funny, you know. Florence and I have been married for nearly 40 years. When she starts a question or a sentence, I pretty much know how it's going to finish, so I answer it before she gets through.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, I know. Here's what's wrong with it. Too often I'm answering the wrong question because I haven't let her finish. Gina, do we need to meet? Scripture number three, out of Proverbs. You see a man who speaks in haste, there's more hope for a fool than for him. And I got to put me right in that category. So the scriptures say we need to meet our wives at their point of need. Not our point of need, but theirs. And I know. We already have the answers. We need to listen more and talk less. Because it's not about the nail, right? So Florence also has an answer to this problem, and this goes on the girls, right? It's okay for the guys to ask this question. Sweetie, you want me to fix it, or you just want me to listen? That's a legit question. And sometimes we have to make that arrangement with our spouse before we actually do it. You know, I may ask you this question, is that okay? Yeah, the wife says, yeah, it's okay. So then we can actually go through that drill and ask the question. Because sometimes they do want to have something fixed, and sometimes they just want to listen. Because most often it's not about the nail, it's about something else. Girls, you owe me. This one actually does have a little shocking on it. Bido. Any of y'all been to the church this morning? Harry was talking about be and do, but he actually was no be and do. So I should probably need to correct that. But it wouldn't go with my marriage, so I won't. So I got to give credit where credit's due. This marriage moment comes to you courtesy of Mission to the World and Todd Sproul. Mm-hmm. Because Todd Sproul loves Minions. And this little thing is from Despicable Me 2, and it's Gru. He's practicing how he's going to ask for a date with Lucy, right?
Hello, Lucy, this is Gru. I know up to this point our relationship has been strictly professional, and you're leaving for Australia and all, but okay, here is the question. Would you like to go out on a date? No. Okay, that's not helping. All right, here we go. For real this time. I can do this.
What's that got to do with our marriage? Actually, it has a lot to do with our marriages. How many times have we had a situation where we knew we needed to bring up a touchy subject, but we just couldn't bring ourselves to do it, right? Kind of like, here are my excuses. Well, I was afraid of how she might react. Well, that's probably legitimate, but that's not an excuse. Or be do. Well, the timing wasn't just right. You know, I'll ask her tomorrow. Let's just put it off, shove it down the road. Or it wasn't really all that big a deal after all, really. I mean, maybe I don't need to bring it up at all. Well, yeah, we really do need to bring it up at all. So we often sweep it under the rug and we build a Berlin Wall right in the middle of our marriage. So what do we do?
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Well, Gorby can't tear down our walls. We've got to do it ourselves. And how do we do that? I love this verse in Ephesians 4. Tell each other the truth. Tell each other the truth, because we all belong to each other in the same body. When you're angry, do not sin. And do not go on being angry all day. Do not give the devil a way to defeat you, or some versions say, do not give the devil a foothold. But if we don't bring up those hard truths, we go to sleep on them, and they grow if we don't deal with them. So is that hard sometimes? Heck yeah, it's hard all the time. So. So there you have it. Four marriage moments from out of your past. Comments? Questions? Can any of y'all identify with any of those?
Five, 6 years ago, and they were appropriate things.
Yeah, we're past that now.
Yeah.
All right.
I got something for the class. I want to hear my wife and I were split on this. I want to hear everybody's opinion on this. Should you go, if your son is a homosexual and he's getting married, should the parent go to the wedding? Okay? So Gina says, absolutely not. She's been hitting me with Kevin DeYoung and all this kind of stuff. I'm actually like, I'm going to go to my son's wedding, but we're just having a debate about it. So I'd just like to hear what everybody has to say on this, this opinion on this.
Really? I don't think,
here? Huh? Oh, okay. And we went to a wedding recently, and one of the guy getting married, the groom's brother, has a husband. Okay, and it's weird anyway. So we got this debate, and you know, I'm curious to know what other people think. I mean, we're just curious. I mean, I don't think I would go to one just as a friend, because I'm acknowledging that I agree with that wedding, because marriage is an institute from God. But then it's your child, so I don't know. Answers.
I've got one. Well, my best friend from growing up, her daughter actually getting married October 22nd, and she struggled with that and has sought counsel on it. And I don't know if y'all know Candy Wood, Candy Wood. Well, that I'll always talk to her about stuff. Anyway, I brought her one day, and Candy's advice to her was she felt scripturally that you can't support it. But she said, what I would do, and this is what my friend ended up doing, because my friend's not going, she's actually like, I don't even want to be in the state of Alabama that weekend. But she said, write her a letter and tell her that no matter what, you love her. And this is why you're not coming. It's not because you don't love her. You know, tell her that you will always love her. But you just cannot support that, and she knows that, you know, like she, and so I thought, and my friend did that, and she said, you know, I feel good about that, because I never want her to come back and say, you know, even if she changes, I don't know, I don't want it to be like, I told you so, even if things don't work out or whatever, I just want her to know, I love you, I can't support this decision of yours, but I love you, I won't be there, but I love you. And so I think that's been a good way for her, and I thought, you know, that makes sense. You're standing by your side, but you're also letting yourself know you love
them. Yeah, okay.
And it really helped, I'll say, it's helped their relationship a little more. From the daughter has actually come more around, and they don't let, even, she's like, I don't want you coming around as a couple right now. That was one of her things. She's like, I can't grasp that. She said, but you're welcome to come anytime. We love Brian, the person, as a girl, as for who she is, but we just cannot support that. So
did you speak to Gina before this?
No, that was because I struggled about, because I was like, somebody was having tea for, and I was struggling, do I go to the tea, you know, I told my friend, I was like, if you go that day, she was like, I had a dream that you were sitting beside me. I was like, I will sit beside you just to be there for you if you go that day. That was my thought, as to support my friend. But, I mean, God made it. So I've gone both ways about it.
Yeah, okay.
But that's how she's dealing with it next week, is being a believer. So.
Well, here's one of the big lies that makes coming to a conclusion on that all the more difficult. the left says, if you don't like homosexuality, you hate the person. And that's not the case. You know, we're called to love the person, no matter what. But we don't have to like the sin. And in a sense, we're celebrating the sin if we go to... that's a topic we could spend weeks on. But I think that's... And you said it so clearly. I still love you, no matter what, but I don't love the sin. It's a hard message to deliver, yeah.
What did Kevin DeYoung say?
Totally with Susan and Jim. And he said it from not your son, he said, or your daughter, he said it from a perspective of, which I agree with 100%, from the perspective of, I'm not going to acknowledge that marriage. So I just took it one more step and said, what if it's your child? Hey, I love you, and I'm going to love you always, no matter what you do, but if you were living with a woman or a man, I'm still going to love you, but I'm not going to acknowledge. I'm going to tell you, I'm calling you out on your sin. That's how the debate came up.
He wasn't talking about it in the perspective of his child.
No, he was talking about it just on...
That makes it a whole lot tougher.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Obviously, I think we'd all be in agreement on the first deal. I mean, you might say, okay, I'm going to support my friend, like Susan said, or whatever, but when it came to the child, we're like, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah.
Are y'all familiar with Beckett Cook? Y'all heard of him?
Uh-huh.
He had the phenomenal story. He's written a book called Change of Affection, but he was gay for many, many years. I mean, probably a couple of decades. And he has a podcast and the one that said that book. But I love his podcast, but it's just his story of how God, you know, saved him out of that. And so people have asked him that very question now that he's a believer.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can go to birthday parties or other things, but he was not saying as believers we should go to that wedding. Like God chose marriage to kind of image, you know, he called us, his children, believers, as his bride. I mean,
right.
It's one of those sanctities, like the sanctity of life. And so, anyway, I thought that was interesting, his perspective, because...
He was in it. Yep.
But his story is really powerful, and he's interviewed a lot of people similar to him that have come out of that and know the Lord. And I don't know, just hearing it from somebody who walked it to me makes it really...
What's his last name, Allison?
It's Beckett Cook.
Cook.
C-O-O-K. And the book is A Change of Affection. I haven't read the book, but I listen to his podcast a lot because he just has some... Because that's so prevalent in our society, I think you should have got some great content.
So I have some very specific thoughts on this, but I'm going to tell them in November.
Okay, good.
Are you teaching us?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm doing a thing on engagement culture.
Great. Good.
Just to challenge our thinking and being consistent. You know, who we are and why we do what we do, and who holds the power of salvation, and the one group of people that do not hold the power of salvation we're all sitting in this room looking at each other. And the one that can transform our lives is the one that we're putting our hope in, not in us. And I think a lot of times our focus is toward our changing someone, and we lose sight of the one that has the power to do so.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about it.
So y'all know this has been a kind of an eclectic quarter with different teachers all along the way, and we've been sort of trying to focus on practical Christian living. So the last 4 weeks, Stephen's going to be kind of doing a wrap-up of practical Christian living, and that sounds like a perfect piece of it. Really does. All right, anything else before we close? Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for another day of grace that we don't deserve, and yet there it is. We have it. Lord, we thank you for all the ways you bless us, and we pray that you continue to work in our lives from a practical standpoint to help us with our relationships and with our friendships and with our children and all the things that go on in a Christian life, that you would help us live it the way you would have us live it. Father, again, we thank you for today. We thank you for every way that you bless us, even the ways that we don't recognize when they're happening. And we thank you especially for the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.